Well, we've been working through 1 Thessalonians, and we arrived at chapter 4. So we please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we reach the verses 13 to 18, which is about the rapture of the church. So it's 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, and we'll read the scriptures. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you should be with those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and would remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who do sleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the shout of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the Lord and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. Well, that's the teaching on the rapture. But the question is, the many people who do not accept the rapture as biblical, because they say that word rapture, we call it rapture, is not actually in the Bible. Well, that's quite true. But you see, neither is the word Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible either. But we know that this is a basic truth of the Bible and the Christian life. So why not the rapture too? So the term for rapture and the Trinity are not in Scripture, but the truth is certainly there. But that word rapture, let's have a think about that for a moment. It actually comes from the Latin word rapere. And say in the Latin translation of the Bible, the word is rapere. And the link is obvious. The Greek verb in the New Testament is harpazo, H-A-R-P-A-Z-O. And it's a verb which means several meanings, translated from Greek into English. It means to catch away, to seize away by force, to pull up, to take by force, to take to oneself. Well, that's a translation of Greek into English. And of course, the Lord is going to take us to himself, as we know that very well. But this is used elsewhere in the scriptures. And it's used, I just mentioned too, it's in John's gospel, where in chapter 10, verse 23, where it speaks, I think, about the wolf trying to snatch away the sheep. And verse 28 and 29. It's in Acts 8:39, where the Holy Spirit caught Philip away. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and of course here in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17. So it's in the different parts of the Bible. And the word was also used concerning the ascension of Jesus. He was caught up back into heaven at the same, as you know very well. So the word is hapage, and that means rapture here. And it really means the church shall be caught up. And I've heard it's a long Greek word, I'll say what it is, harpagesometha, and is in a special tense of the Greek, harpagesometha, and is called a punctilia future tense. Sorry about that. I had to look this up myself. Harpagesometha is a peculiar punctilia future tense, and it means that the Lord will catch up the church at a specific time in the future. At a specific time in the future. Well, we know this was written a long time ago. And so living believers will be caught up at the shout of the Lord, verse 16, to meet him in the air. Now, the event will happen in God's appointed time. We know that. It's exactly the same, you see, with Enoch and Elijah. They were caught up without death, weren't they? Caught up to the Lord, as you know. And that was a type of rapture. So is such an event important? Well, a lot of Christians don't think it is because the word's not there, as I said. But it is important because it is in the Word of God. Therefore, it must be important. So what the Lord says he will do, expressing this truth, he will act on that in his own time perfectly. And he wants us to know the truth of his word and to teach and explain this to the church. Unfortunately, not many people believe in the rapture, but they believe in the Trinity. Why not the rapture? So in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52, it begins, "Behold, I'll show you a mystery." Now, it's not a mystery in the Bible that there was a resurrection from the dead. That's clear in Scripture. The Bible mentions it, of course. That's clear enough in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And the example is in Psalm 16, verse 10, and in Acts chapter 2. And it's in Job 19 about the resurrection. And Job says, "I will see the Lord on the earth in my body, in my flesh." It's also in Daniel chapter 12. The mystery really is that the living believers of the true church on the earth, and they will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord very certainly. And this is a translation, if you like, a word translation or catching up or taking away of the true saints of the Lord. Now, this teaching was never revealed in the Old Testament. And why was that? Because the church was not revealed in the Old Testament. That's why. The mystery of the church is only mentioned in the New Testament, because the church is a New Testament body. We know that. So we know that living believers will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We will put off mortality and put on immortality. We'll put off corruption and put on incorruption in 1 Corinthians 15. We shall all be changed without experiencing physical death, whoever's alive at the time. So here indeed is the way in which death is swallowed up in victory, because there won't be any death for some believers, as we know. Some believers will not experience death. Neither did Enoch or Elijah, but they weren't in the church, of course. So what about the timing of the rapture? We've looked at the truth of the rapture. What about the time of the rapture? Well, the coming of the Lord for the church is always called imminent. Imminent meaning any time. The imminent rapture of true believers. And it's called in 1 Thessalonians 4, as we read, a comforting hope. Of course it is. It's a comforting hope to realize that we should be taken out from this wicked world, this godless, violent world, and taken to be with the Lord. So that's very wonderful. We should be, if you like, translated into the air to meet the Lord. And that's a wonderful truth. And the Lord is ready for us. And what a challenging thought that is. See, the word is imminent. And the church has this glorious hope, the blessed hope, and soon appearing of our great God and Savior in the book of letter of Titus. Now, of course, we know that the world is passing away in 1 John chapter 2, and we're called not to love the world, not to be part of its world systems of life, which are organized without God, of course. And we're told that the world is passing away. So we're going away from the Lord. Wonderful that, isn't it? So now, there are people who try and think about the coming of the Lord for the church is in Matthew 24 and 25. No, the church is not in these two chapters. Matthew 24 and 25 is relating to Israel and God's judgment on the nations. So the rapture is not there in Matthew 24 and 25. The church isn't there either. And do you know that word resurrection is not mentioned in Matthew 24 and 25? So it has nothing to do with the church, you see. The dead in Christ arise first, and we which are alive shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And there's no mention of resurrection in chapter 24. Now we know that Enoch, he never saw death either. Genesis 5:24. And we know in a strange way that when we think back to Genesis about the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, you notice that Lot was taken away from Sodom and Gomorrah before the judgment took place on Sodom and Gomorrah. In the same way, same pattern, the Lord will take away the church before the great tribulation begins. You see the parallel there very clear, isn't it? Now, we know that the Hebrews were called out of Egypt, and the Lord rescued them, as we know from the book of Exodus. And the Lord, when he came to bring the Hebrews, as they were called then, out of Egypt, the Lord held back the waters of the Red Sea while Israel crossed safely. Now, Egypt, of course, in the Bible, is a typical and type of the godless world. And that perished, because when the Pharaoh and all his chariots and the army tried to persuade the Hebrews, they were swallowed up when the waters closed over them. So the Hebrews were rescued from the world's opposition. And so the church will also be rescued from the world's opposition, great tribulation. And we know Elijah himself, he was snatched up without seeing death. We know that it's in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. So the pre-tribulation rapture, Lot was taken out from Sodom and Gomorrah. Elijah was taken up to meet the Lord in the air. The Hebrews were taken out from Egypt before God judged Egypt, as the waters came over them, the army and the Pharaoh perhaps. So the church will be taken up before the great tribulation begins. Now that comes in different parts of the scriptures, where it says, we shall not see the wrath to come. Why? Because we'll be taken out. And we look at those scriptures in just a moment. I think maybe we could look at it right now. If you have your Bibles handy, and I'm sure you have, would you go back, please, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I just find it myself. Romans 5 and verse 9. Romans 5 and verse 9. It says at the end of the verse that we should be saved from wrath through him, through Christ, saved from it, which means we'll be taken out from it. Now, would you go to where we were before in 1 Thessalonians again, but this time chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1, please. Let you find it first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. We're called to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. If you deliver something out, you take him out from it. The Lord will deliver us from the wrath to come. Now look in the same letter to chapter 5. In chapter 5 and verse 9, please. Chapter 5 and verse 9. I'm rushing on a bit, I know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to go through the wrath. Now, the wrath is not hell or the lake of fire. That's eternal. The wrath is the short 7-year period of the great tribulation. We're delivered from that, not taken through it. That's very important. We're delivered from it, not taken through it. Last reference is in Revelation chapter 3. Let's go to it. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and the verse we want is verse 10. This is what he says to the faithful church of Philadelphia back in those days, but it's applying to us too. Chapter 3 of Revelation and verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which has come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. The earth dwellers, those who are at home on the earth. He says, I will keep you from it. The Greek word there for from is ek. You can say we get the word exit from it. I will give you a quick exit from the world before the awful trial of the wrath of God begins. So that's clear enough. We are taken out before the 7-year period of the wrath of God and the great tribulation, Revelation 6 onwards, before that takes place. Also, I'd like to notice that those chapters, chapter 6 of Revelation through to chapter 18 has no mention of the church. The church, those 7 types of church, are in Revelation 2 and 3. Then in chapter 4, verse 1, John says he was taken up to heaven, which in type, of course, is the type of the church going to heaven before the wrath begins. And we're present in heaven, as chapter 4 and chapter 5 tell us as well. So those are encouraging truths. And this is called premillennialism, premillennial rapture position. Now, premillennial means that the Lord comes to the church before the millennium begins. And then we come back with him to rule with him in the millennium. It says in Revelation, we shall reign as kings and priests with the Lord when he comes back. So we shall be back on the earth with him, you see. That's in the book of Revelation. But for the time being, when we get through to the end of Revelation 2 and 3, the church is already in heaven, you see. That's the important thing. So while we're thinking of that word rapture, as I say, it's not actually in the Bible. It is a Greek word, harpazo, which means to snatch away with great force and with suddenness. When the Lord comes for us, off we go with suddenness. So we're encouraged to hold fast that importance of the teaching of the rapture of the church in its pre-tribulation truth and time. And then you'll find yourself, when you do that, you'll hold fast to all the fundamental truths of Holy Scripture and the premillennial faith, and especially Bible prophecy. So in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we're to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 13. That's what we're called to look for. To look for the Lord's coming for the church. And that's very important. So it's rather short this evening, but that it will be quite sufficient for you. But the coming of the Lord for the true church, from that Greek word harpazo, which means snatching away with great force, and suddenly, when the Lord comes for us, off we go. The dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air very suddenly. Even the book of Revelation says the Lord is coming suddenly for his own. In the very last chapter of the last verses, suddenly the Lord comes, but that's his second coming. You can't call the rapture of the church his second coming, because he came the first time to the earth, and the second coming is to the earth. So he's coming to meet us in the air. Praise the Lord for 1 Corinthians 15 and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We should be caught up, harpazo. Maybe we'll be alive at the time. I hope we will be. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. In fact, those who died in Christ, of course, are spiritually with the Lord. We know that. But their bodies are in the earth. So when the Lord comes back, he'll bring back the people who are with the Lord, who are saved, with him in the air, and their bodies will be resurrected, new bodies, incorruptible, immortal, to meet the Spirit coming with the Lord. And they'll be a united person, those who have died in Christ. We shall be caught up, and our body will be transformed immediately, immediately, by the rapture, from mortality to immortality, instantly, and from corruption to incorruption, and we will always be with the Lord forever. So I hope that perhaps has been a little help on the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And next time we'll continue in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.